When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
He's hotter than fish grease.
This team in green and white hangs around.
Oh, so much Steph Curry.
Wild comeback here for the Celtics.
Horford for the lead. Boston up by three.
The thing about the Celtics, there's not one guy you can point to that had a hand in winning this ballgame.
The Celtics take game one of the 2022 NBA Finals.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. So that was an unexpected game one, I thought, Jay, Key. Last night, you know, it just felt to me throughout the game that it was, you know, the Celtics were staying in it, but the Warriors got it. And then they expand lead going into the fourth quarter. And I remember right around, usually I think if the home team especially is up at least five with 5 minutes left, I usually feel pretty good about them. And it was right around like 7 minutes left, and they may have still had a double-digit lead, but it was a nice little lead. And then the Celtics started getting, I mean, the Celtics just kept scoring, and the Warriors looked flat on the other end, and the Celtics, like, and they take game one on the Warriors' home floor. That is not something the Warriors are used to.
Yeah, the Warriors allowed that to happen, though. They opened up the door, and the Celtics saw the moment to seize, and they grabbed it. And the Warriors couldn't do anything about it at that point. Now when you're down double digits and you minutes of, you know, the time is against you, because when I close my eyes, I'm telling you, I was like, oh, it's cool. You know, you lean over, you hit the light. You're like, oh, okay, I'm going to get this last possession in, click, over. I'm like, oh, they'll win. And then for whatever reason, being in New York City, you got noise everywhere. I woke up, you know, I woke up. And it was like, I want to say it was probably 40-something seconds or something. And I had to rub my eyes and look
12
hard.
Points, yeah.
Yeah, look. I was like, oh, that's not – am I seeing Golden State on one side and is it switched? And then I really – and when I woke up, I was like, damn, they're getting ready to lose. And then I find out, obviously, after I do a little bit of research, that Jaylen Brown went nuts in the fourth quarter, and it was just it was one of those games.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown was the difference in the fourth quarter. He was the guy that got them back in the game, scored or assisted on 20 of their first 23 points in the fourth quarter, which allowed them to go on that 40-16 run. But I, you know, one of the things I love about our show is that we're allowed to get very personal at times, right? So I talked to a lot of beat writers. I've known Emi Udoka for a while. I've known Jason Tatum, obviously, since he was a freshman at Duke. And one of the things that used to happen before in the past is that a lot of Jason Tatum's effort and other aspects of the game were factored into how he scored, right? So, Key, you've heard this before. Like, if certain guys aren't getting touches, they're going to check out, right? They're going to check out of the game. They're not going to do the little things. I'm sure, Key, there are a lot of analogies, like wide receivers blocking, things of other sorts,
you
right?
You got to stay in tune in the game doing other things.
1,000,000%. So, one of the things M.A. Udoka has been preaching to Jason Tatum is that your impact on the game isn't just scoring. It's in other aspects, what your defensive pressure is, how you get people involved. For Jason Tatum to have 13 assists in this ball game goes to show you about his evolution as a player and how he's maturing in the game, because he's not always forcing it. And that's monumental for
Udoka,
this team.
By the way, Udoka, Key, what Jay just said, it's such an important message from Tatum, because in your first finals appearance, you're cold. You know, I read it in the Sports Center. 13 assists is the most ever for a person in their first finals game. The most ever.
You know, I like to always go to my favorite coach in Bill Parcells. I always
Parcellian, as you call it.
Yeah, Max says Parcellian. Yeah. So as you said, though, Jay, for a wide receiver, there's other things that you can impact the game doing. Mm. And I remember he told me, he goes, you know, you're not going to get very many touches this particular game because this is what's going to happen, but you got to stay in tune at blocking, running your route still crisp, making sure you're lifting the coverage. You're doing all of those sort of things because in the end, we're going to need you at some point in time throughout the game.
And I always thought you were a great and winning player. In whatever stats there were,
yeah,
I always
thought. Statistics don't mean anything.
That's
what people argue about on Monday morning.
But your image was flash and big talk, but actually your play was the exact. Your play was like.
Newsday.
Was like blocking, tackling type stuff, doing all the. Dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's.
Because, like Jay said, though, with a guy like Tatum, you're so used to, just like me, I'm so used to coming out of college. Oh, we're passing going to me. So, you know, soon as I see the formation here to play, oh, I'm getting the ball. When you become a pro and it doesn't happen for you right away, you tend to kind of just take it easy. You take a step back. You don't get as engaged because you're used to one thing. But once you learn, I can impact the game many different ways because of who I am. I'm going to take double teams. Even if I don't get the ball, they still running to me.
It's a team play.
They're going to run to me. They're going to blitz me because they think I'm getting the ball. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting it. It's setting up for somebody else. Now I can go block or do some of those things. So you gotta have that mindset. And that's good that Udoka could get him to do those sort of things.
So Tatum was talking at the post-game presser because the question we asked going into this segment, Jay, was this dude shot like that? He did, but if you're a Celtics fan, is that like a good thing or a bad thing? Because you might think, man, that dude ain't going to shoot like that every time. This is what Tatum had to say about it.
We're in the championship. We're in the finals. You know, all I was worried about was trying to get a win. And we did. And that's all that matters at this point. So, you know, I don't expect to shoot that bad again. But if it means we keep winning, I'll take it.
Yo, it's so what we get every single game because there are these, you know, 2-3 day periods between games. The media has a lot of time to dig down into all these stats, right? So even Draymond Green said, hey, it's the first one to win 4 games, not the first one to win 1.
Dre.
Like, which is so damn true.
It is
so
very
if you're
true.
Jason Tatum, you're looking at this saying, yo, I was 3 of 17. I don't give a damn because I played D, I had 13 assists, and we won the game. We got one on the road. That's all that matters. And the effort, man, that you saw from the Boston Celtics, here's one of the things that I pay attention to all the time. And people, I don't know how it is in football, Key, but I know in basketball, we used to see LeBron James do it a lot. It might be the middle of the second quarter, there's a timeout being called, and you'll grab the box score. And you'll be looking at it like, damn, man, we getting out-rebounded by this. We got to give effort on this. And people always think that it's taking to, you're looking at your points or you're looking at your stats. But no, like you're trying to survey the game and recognize junctures in the game that you need to execute better or give more energy or effort to. There are multiple times throughout the course of the game where you're knowing Ime Udoka's like, he's not shooting, he's not playing well, but you didn't say Ime Udoka take him out, did you?
He led he's the having team a positive minutes. Influence on
he
the game.
He led the team in minutes, yeah. 42 minutes, because you know he's still impacting the game in different ways.
So that's basically self-evaluating in-game scouting when you're looking at the box scores, right? You're there on the sideline, and you're looking at the stat sheet, but people might think you're looking at the stats when you're really doing in-game adjustments in boxing.
Why are you laughing?
I'm only laughing because, Key, I'm just going to say it because Key will get it. Depends on what team you're playing for. There's some teams, Key, you know what I mean? Like,
those are teams that's not winning. Though.
Yeah, they're like,
But not teams
winning,
in the finals.
Yeah, when you have a winning culture
team, winning culture.
They looking at something totally different. In football, you said you didn't know if it was something like that. Well, in football, that nowadays they got the iPads, so to speak, and they're sitting on the sideline just making those adjustments. They're not necessarily looking at the stat sheet because we already know if a dude is gashing us on the offensive side of the ball. Plus, I know in my head, I think I got 6 targets. I probably got 70. You already know what it is. You know, at the end of the game, we get the stats, and we know at the end of the game, as soon as the game is over, we got them pressed, ready to go on our bench so we can take a look at them.
Dale in Maryland, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
What up, Dale?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is really an honor because I've been a Celtics fan for quite some time, and I'm going to make this prediction right now. Boston will win this series 4-2. I told a lot of my friends this, And I said, I even tell my 15-year-old grandson, one player will not beat five. And I was deeply hurt when Kyrie Irving left to go to New Jersey. But right now, I feel that that was the best thing for this team because it, I think he would have stunted Tatum's and Brown's development and growth. And right now, I am overjoyed. I know it's just one game, but what they said, pressure bursts pipes. And I think after Sunday's game, when if Boston somehow pulls off the second game, I feel that, like I said, with the right there, the Celtics are they are the perfect team with the perfect coach. And gentlemen, I really want to thank you for. I've been on the phone for quite some time waiting. But right now, this is like my Christmas come early.
Well,
thank
Dale,
you, and y'all be blessed. Be safe.
You stay blessed too, Dale. We're glad you're calling. All I'm going to say to add to Dale's point real quick is the process helps you. Kyrie Irving was a blessing for the Boston Celtics, right? Like me losing my freshman year in college to Florida and getting embarrassed in the Sweet 16 was a blessing because I stayed my ass for the summer, worked out like crazy, was motivated, and all that that led for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, the ownership of saying, no, Kyrie, we love you, but you're not it for our team. Help this team be to where they are right now.
Progress is not just linear, pointing straight up. There are bumps on the way up there, but that's part of the process. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. Is presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with their easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Jaylen Brown stepped up for Boston. What happened to the Warriors supporting cast? Next, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
7:30 on ESPN2. You see everything from the 2-on-2 from Wednesday, Barton Hahn versus Key and Jay. You'll also be able to hear the game right here on ESPN Radio. But right now, guys, that's coming up in 13 minutes. But right now, we got Quentin Richardson with us. Q Rich, what's going on, Q?
What up, Q?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
What's cracking?
So, Q, Draymond Green said something at the postgame presser yesterday I want you to listen to. Jay, listen to this.
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them. So those guys are good shooters, but they combined for, what, 15 out of 8? Where's Smart? 7, 8, 20. 15 for 23. 8, 7, and 8. 8, 7, and 8. Yeah, that's 23, right? Yeah. 15 for 23 from those guys. Yeah, you know, so. Be fine.
Well, I'm glad he got the math right, Q. I'm sorry, I wanted to say until I heard it. Hey, sometimes you be tired after games. I get it. Q, the only thing that's it's really interesting to me, and I hear what Draymond's Graham, right? Like, what's the probability that Derek White, Al Horford, Smart shoot that highly efficient again? But when you look at Draymond Green and Kevon Looney's stat line, they aren't good. Right, those two combined for 8 points. And Max has been on Stephen Curry not doing things in the fourth. And my whole thing has been this is always a collective effort. And when you don't get that point contributions from the likes of Klay Thompson or Jordan Poole, you need that manufacturing of energy to come from somewhere, and it doesn't feel like you got the same kind of production that you've gotten in the past that you didn't get from Draymond Green or Kevon Looney in this game.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, the craziest part about all of this we're saying is, like, in spite of everything, until I can't remember what time was on the clock, but until the Celtics went on that 11-14-0 run in the fourth, in spite of all of that, Golden State still had the game in hand. That's the craziest part.
What stuck out to you most in the Celtics' victory, Q?
Man, for me, Al Horford, Derrick White. You know, I mean, you know, I expect Marcus Smart to have a good game to a certain extent, but I mean, I called Al Horford the X factor for them, but I had no clue he was going to go and make 6 of 8 threes and 26, 27, how many points he had. It was, to me, like Al Horford was like literally the star of the night for him. What he did, I mean, the shots he made in those moments, the totality of his points and the impact that he had on the game, I think his impact and his imprint on the game was bigger than anybody on either side.
You know what I was going to tell you, too, Q? It's interesting, right? When Brad Stevens went to the front office and this move was made, when the Celtics traded Josh Richardson, a 2021 first-round pick, and a 2028 first-round pick swap to get Derrick White, people questioned it, and all of a sudden people were like, oh, he came through in the clutch. But I did want to ask you, Q, Stephen Curry in this game played 38 minutes, and he gave a little jab in his post-game presser about, yo, by any means necessary, if I got to play 42, 44, whatever I need to do. Why do you think he wasn't on the court as much down, like, you know, in that fourth quarter, in that mid-run third, fourth quarter?
I don't know. That's an interesting thing. I did notice when he said that after the game, too. I don't know. Maybe he, you know, maybe that was like you said. Maybe he was putting it out there that he feel like, that, you know, that he needs to play more, that he's willing to do it or something like that. But I did notice that he said that.
So, Q, here's the thing. I'm not rooting against Steph. I think Steph Curry is among the all-time great. Jay puts him in the – says he's going to be a top 10 player of all time.
When it's all said and done.
When it's all said and done. I think he's top 15 already. But before I take Larry Bird or Magic Johnson or Tim Duncan out of my top 10, I need a dude to show up in the fourth quarter of the finals, you know, especially – and I've seen many fourth quarters now where I'm like, wait, where's Steph? Wait, why? Like, he was good in the first quarter. What happened? How did this collapse? Am I way off base to ask before a guy gets put in the top 10 all time that he delivers some wins in the fourth quarters in the finals?
I'm not mad at you for that, but I think Steph will. I think he has that ability and will. I think, you know, what you saw a little bit of yesterday. You said what?
Yeah, me too. I agree. I'm just waiting for it.
You see, Q, I feel like that storyline is not applicable for this right now. Not in this moment. Not after game one. And I get that Boston made adjustments.
And he was cooking.
That's what I'm
he
saying,
was cooking.
Though.
Like, you know, he did, like you say, Max, he didn't, like, in the actual fourth quarter, it didn't go down that way. But at that point, it was a lot of different things going on. I mean, he was definitely a huge part of the reason that they built the lead and they were in the position they was in, because he came out on fire.
But CQ, we're having a completely different conversation about Jason Tatum today if Jaylen Brown don't save his ass, right? We're saying, oh, he had 13 assists, but man, he didn't really. Some people say he didn't really show up, had an off shooting night.
Are you putting Jason Tatum in the top 10 all time?
Can I finish my point before you just interject? All I'm saying, though,
this is what
is
I
that
go through.
Jaylen Brown helped Jason Tatum. So there needs to be somebody else that can get you to a certain point that makes this performance of Stephen Curry look different, because they had the game close out. They just couldn't close it. You know what I mean,
no,
Q? Does
that
make sense?
That.
It's a team collective effort. It's not.
So who is that, Clay, Q? Who had to step up in that case? Is it Clay?
Man, Clay, it doesn't matter. Like, just like you saw for the Celtics. I mean, you would, I guess in your head you would think Clay or whatever. But I mean, to me, it's whoever it is, just somebody. No different than Al Horford making big shots in those big moments, and him and Derrick White. Like, they needed somebody to step up and make some buckets or make some plays to stop the bleed. You can't, at that point in the game, you can't have an 11-14-0 run and the whole game turn from night and day to where you guys got it under control and now y'all upside down.
Quinn Richardson, former NBA player and a co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Q, couple things went on with the Warriors, right? They obviously look tired at times throughout the game, but what do they need to do other than probably get in the game shape to turn things around in game two? And is it a must win for them?
I definitely think it's a must win for them, but I think they, I think what we talked about earlier, man, they need contribution from the others. I mean, I think if they get the others and some of the other guys are scoring some points, you can't pay as much attention and focus on Steph. And I think that was pretty much kind of what cooled him down, because you didn't have a whole lot of others. You didn't have Jordan Poole doing a whole lot. Andrew Wiggins was kind of pedestrian. So you don't have all of those other guys chipping in. It's easier to focus in on Steph, especially when he come out and have a first quarter like he does. That's the whole game plan. Like, okay, now we got to cool him down. Somebody's got to get a hold of him and get him under control. So if you get somebody else to contribute something when that's happening, that kind of wanes and takes a little bit of that sharp focus off Steph. And nobody ever did, really, in my opinion.
Q, you're damn right. It is a must-win to get game two. And if they get game two at home, like, first off, a lot of people are going to jump to all these conclusions today. Like, oh, I think it's over. Right. I'm really worried about them. I'm like, yo, it's one game. Q, like, we've seen a lot of playoff basketball. And if you're a Warriors fan right now, you have to bank on history, Q, right? If you're banking on history, they've won at least one road game in all of the 26 playoff series of the Stephen Curry era. So if you're able to get this one at home, then you think about stealing one on the road. It still leaves you to having home court advantage.
That's 26 straight series. Q, that's 26 straight series, which is an NBA record that Jay is referring to. But they have not been in this position that often, because they're now only – they're 21-3 in game ones under Kerr. They're used to being up 1-0 almost all the time, right? So here's Steve Kerr. I want you to listen to this sound. Steve Kerr at the post-game presser on being down 0-1 now.
It's a different feeling. Obviously, you go into game two with more of a sense of desperation. But that's all part of this stuff. You know, we've been in this position before, and we've won series where we've lost the first game. We've won a road game, at least one road game, and I don't know how many consecutive series. So you always kind of assume you're going to have to win on the road.
You know, it's crazy, Q, when you think about it, the Warriors have only lost two game ones during their six finals runs. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That was 2016 Western Conference Finals, OKC. They came back. They won that 1-7. And then you talk about 2019 finals to Toronto, where obviously they lost that 1-6, but Clay and KD got hurt. That's wild to me.
That is. That's unbelievable.
They always have home court, right? They're usually the best team in the regular season.
I mean, but you talk about being dynastic, right? So, I mean – look, man, Q, like, you've been through playoff series before. A lot of people want the Warriors to be frantic and to sound worried. And, Steve Kerr, does he sound worried? Like, can you please just express to our audience about how you just take this? And I know it's a cliche and it's annoying, but it's really one game at a time type of series.
No, it's absolutely. I mean, I'm laughing what you said, because literally last night when the game ended, and I knew either way it ended, it was going to be like, you know what I'm saying, the next day, oh, it's over, it's this, it's that. It's like, no, this is one game at a time. We should have learned from early in the playoffs. When Phoenix got up 2-0, they said it was over, and so many other things. Like, it's not over. This is going to be a hard-fought series, man. You got two great teams, two great coaches that's going to make adjustments and going to inspire their team to go play differently. And then you got special players that's going to rise to different occasions. I definitely don't think it's going to be, a one-way or a quick series. I think this is just the beginning, and now teams got to go back and adjust, and we'll see what happens in game two.
Q, what do you make of Al Horford? I mean, it's you talk about redemption stories. I mean, it was only like a year ago where this dude was in OKC, not playing. People thought he was done playing basketball. People thought he was done. And now he's in the NBA Finals, obviously contributing to a major run down the stretch in the fourth quarter. What does he provide for this Boston Celtic team?
Listen, I'll be honest. I don't know what it is about him playing for Boston. Like, he's a total different player, in my opinion, with Boston. Like, I don't know what it is, but I can remember them trading him. I'm like, whatever. That ain't going to be a big deal. He was already there. He dumped, like you saying, Jay. He ain't got much left. Like, he out here being a difference. And I think it's just, when you listen to him talk, and you listen to him, he's just that old vet that's just doing his thing. He doesn't seem like he's shaken by a lot. I mean, he's in a perfect position. He knows that he's just he's a gap filler. He's not the guy. Like, last night was the aberration, him scoring 26. And I think he's perfect for that because in the moment, he doesn't care. He's just out there playing. He's just out there. He hits the shot, he hits. He's pretty even keel, confidence. I mean, I love the fact that as a veteran, he's stepping in and he's kind of giving those guys confidence. You see how those guys rally behind him and everybody's like, as a team, they're excited when he plays well and they're happy for him.
Yeah, I think Philly really damaged his reputation because he was not a power forward. Never played power forward. They tried to play him next to Embiid. That made him look bad.
Yes.
And meantime, Dre is going to have to play up on him a little bit. You can't just give him wide open looks. That is Quentin, right? That is Quentin Richardson, ladies and gentlemen. Q Rich, always great to have you on the show.
All right, Q.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, brother.
It's going to be your turn to weigh in on the NBA Finals coming up. Plus all the sights and sounds from our 2-on-2 win. I don't know how it's our if there are two people playing, you and Key. Somehow it's our.
Our, yeah.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Here at the 2-on-2 ESPN Radio Challenge.
I'm basically going to be Draymond Green, and I'm going to do my part, and he's going to be Stephen Clay and Wiggins and Poole.
Just hand the ball off and have a beer.
Let him do his deal.
By the way, you can tune into an NL Central battle Sunday as the Cubs host the Cards. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Speaking of rivalries, here's how Keyshawn and J. Will
and Max
defeated Bart and Han for the ESPN 2-on-2 championship, which included exactly one game. Here it is. Welcome to Pier 17 at ESPN Seaport Studios for the first ever 2-on-2 challenge between Bart and Han and KJM. Let's go.
What's your mindset going into this matchup?
I'm going to stay out of the way. I'm going to let Bart do all the work.
What do you see your role as today?
Using him. What do you think? That's what a smart coach of the player is all about.
Alan Hahn was minding his business, doing his fine radio program one day when his partner, Bart Scott, started talking.
It's like, only people I think could get us some work, maybe, is Jalen and Jacoby. J. Will and Keyshawn, you know what I'm saying? Ooh. We just sweep the leg on Jay Weezy. Keyshawn going to run out of breath.
The fact that you even put my name in your mouth, it's time to really put up or shut up.
So here we are, 2-on-2, Keyshawn and Jay against Alan and Bart. And I am now going to hit a free throw to give my guys the ball.
You ready? With the ball, a little deflated, right. Max sending it back to Freddie Coleman to get checked.
Whoa, keep your eyes open.
Not quite sure there's something wrong with the ball, Carl. I think it's just Max Kellerman sucks at shooting free throws.
Well, here he is, approaching the line to do just that. Unorthodox delivery and well short. Unsurprising in the result.
And so now Bart and Allen have a distinct advantage in the 2-on-2 challenge as they will start with the first possession.
Here we go. Let's go.
Key will go hands up right away.
High pick and roll. Seem to be setting it up. Alan Hahn getting to his spot.
Going right at Jay Williams to Scott on the low block. Trying to spin move. Kicks it out. The jumper rolls around and out.
Jay Will from the corner. Buckets. That's 2 points. Bart Scott setting the high pick and roll. Oh, Bart Scott slips the pick. Easy layup for Bart and Hahn.
And a turnover from
Bart Scott,
who is looking for the foul call, won't get it.
Jay Will with the hezzy and the pump fake. Oh, easy finish at the rim.
Wow.
You're banging inside.
It just makes it look too easy.
You're knocking his hand off. 4-1. Both ways. Good.
There's Jay Will off the Keyshawn screen. He'll pop the long two, and he buries it.
Too much respect from Alan Hahn.
9-3.
Feels like the fat lady's warming up, Carlin. Jay Will playing with his food.
Goes in his game.
Buries it.
Ball game.
And that'll do it.
CC, I have nothing else to say. My teammate, we got challenged. I have all the respect in the world for my opponents. I'm just happy that we recognize what champions look like here.
Why did all this take place today? Well, it's shameless radio promotion, but it's wrapped up in charity. And the losing team makes a $5,000 donation to Make-A-Wish, and to the winning team, a $10,000 check. Yes. To the V Foundation, KJM, there it is.
The winners today, the V Foundation, $10,000 from Keyshawn and J. Will's victory. The Make-A-Wish Foundation gets $5,000 from Bart and Han. We didn't ruin the game today, and I think that's really the biggest takeaway of all. For Chris, I'm Chris. Thanks for joining us at South Street Seaport.
Fun day.
So many things to break down here. So yeah. you were giving us the reasoning behind why you held the ball for 5 minutes above your head,
well,
like Bill Cartwright before the free throw?
Yeah, well, when I was a small white child growing up in New York City in the 70s, you know, a lot of people idolize certain players, want to be like Mike and this and that. But before Patrick Ewing, Bill Cartwright was our center. And I used to grow up as a kid, I'm going to be just like Bill Cartwright. No, the reason is, what you said about pressure before, this is the truth. So I'm doing it with my eyes closed, whatever, in a shirt and jeans, whatever.
With a tie on.
But so it's supposed to be, you know, slow, quick, right?
By the way, I love that you stretch out the arms first.
Yeah. But when I get up there, I'm like, what's going through my mind is, don't miss the rim. Don't throw it into left field. Just at least, and so I stop for a second, right? But what the funniest thing is not even that to me. What are my hands doing after I shoot the ball? Where are my hands?
It's
look,
like
wait, wait, look, look at this. Look at the follow through. Where are my hands? And then I jerk it back.
Do that here when we shoot at the little wastebasket in the studio. You'll follow through, and your follow through will be like off towards Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max's sign, and the basket's the other way.
It's like my hands are spazzing or something. I don't have any control, no muscle memory connection, nothing.
By the way, another point, the score is like 1-3, and Key's like, I'm tired. I'm like, but the score was 1-3. Like, we just started the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all were different degrees of tired.
That's fair. Know?
It's just...
I'm telling you, man, I tried to shut Key down. Key was warming up. You know, Key and I came out. We got hyped. It was like 6 minutes into the warm-up. So I said, Key, I'm going to need you to shut it down.
Warm down.
I'm going to need you to warm down right now.
What was crazy, but you pointed out when Key was – he wasn't stretching. That would require a little too much effort. He was just stretching his clothes. He was like pulling on the shorts.
The game, before the game even started, Key was –
he was simulating stretching.
Look at Key. Key scored that bucket, and Key looked, that's when I know I was like, all right, I got to pick it up, because Key looked at me, he was like, you know what this face means, right?
Right.
It'd be just so scored. Tired. It's time for your ass to go to next level.
Yeah, because you were playing, you were putting on a show, going at the ref.
I was
going
having fun.
Yeah.
But I was a little, I'm not going to lie.
This look right here from
tired.
Key is like, all right, Jay, knock it off.
I was tired, but I was tired.
Yeah.
It was a little bit tired.
I was tired.
I mean, you run it, bar 260, so I'm bumping against him, then I got to bump against Han, and Han, he want to try to show me he's strong. It's like, come on, man.
The best, though, when you have me in this one, like, Key's a big brother to me, right? We talk all the time. Key is never not going to have something to say. So when I see a moment on the court where he ain't saying nothing,
he needs the oxygen.
He ain't talking to nobody. I'm like, oh, damn, Key really tired. Key really tired out here. Key ain't barking, he ain't chirping.
Well, if you looked at the bang and
saved my energy.
He and Bart were doing, Key was breaking out all types of vet moves. Pulling on jerseys
the push on the small of your back.
Yeah,
but Bart's
that.
A big dude.
No, Bart's a little thicky. You know,
when
you're leaning up against them dudes, that's a lot. Think about it in football too, though. When you gotta get tackled, pick up the ball, go back to the locker room, come back out. I mean, it's a lot.
And I'm playing in my sweatpants. That's right. I'm the old man in my sweats.
Good quick hands, Key. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. One NFL franchise is at it again, hyping up their quarterback on social media. Key tells you why that matters.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Oh, it's always a good day here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max when Diana Russini is with us. Got to watch yourself. I'm walking down the street the other day going to get some lunch. Diana's in a car catching me and putting me on Instagram.
She got you like that?
In the middle of the day?
Middle of the day. I'm just walking down the street. Hey, Max. I'm like, oh, look at that.
Gotta be careful. Everybody's media these days.
Where do you have the time to do all this? You're talking to everyone in the world and reporting and doing all every show, and you're also like a videographer somehow?
I know. I'm like paparazzi coming after you. Yesterday, I just did a little behind the scenes of ESPN. And, you know, I did a little bit of Motley Crue. I did a little bit of J.J. Redick. I got a lot in there. And, Max, you just casually walking down the street to go grab a cup of coffee got a lot of responses. Huh. Jay, my DMs were blowing up again.
Yeah.
You sure it was Max and not Greeny?
I wasn't sure, and I watched it. All right, listen. Diana Tua Tagovailoa responded to the critics about his arm strength. So I want you to listen to this.
You know, for me, it's just zone that out. I mean, we come out to practice. Everyone else, Twitter warriors, you know, keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call them. You know, they're not out here practicing with us working hard. So I don't know if you guys recorded that last one to Tyreek, but I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
Diana, what do you think? Tua responding to critics?
Look, I really like Tua as a person. I think he's handled a lot of really difficult situations there with the coaching situation, the changes of at coordinator over the last two seasons. But that sounds just like false confidence to me, the way he responded to that. And he's right. It's difficult to deal with the pressure of having people out there on Twitter constantly criticize what you're doing. And I understand that. But my concern for Tua, and I think those around the league feel this way too, that I've had conversations with about where he has some weakness, it's not his arm strength. That's not the problem. Like, that's great that you can throw the ball downfield without any pass rush on like a random OTA day in June. Cool. It's really more about accuracy and timing. And that's really where I want to see Tua take that next step this year.
Look, here's what I would say.
Diana,
when it comes to the quarterback position and Tua and all those sort of things, I play receiver. I play with a lot of different quarterbacks. I'm not a Twitter guy. I'm not a keyboard guy. I'm not any of that. T-shirt, all Americans go every single day in OTAs. We see it all the time. Doesn't mean anything to me whether it's a good pass or a bad pass in OTAs. What really means something is in September when you take the field against the New England Patriots and the pass rush is coming and people are in your face and the timing and the rhythm of delivering the football in sync. Arm strength, look, there's only a handful of quarterbacks in the National Football League that can pierce a football through a gusting of 70-mile-an-hour wind. A handful. Everybody else is pretty much the same. You just got to be able to throw it in rhythm and in timing. Can he do those things?
Brandon Marshall called him a slow blinker. Said he was a slow blinker. That's what you're talking about. You got to deal with everything quickly.
You got to speed the process up. This is not high school football. This is not pat and go 7-on-7. And sometimes when that's all you're doing – and they're treating you like that with gloves on. When you get in the game, now you're on the Autobahn overseas and things are flying by you.
Jay, Cam Hayward, Steelers defensive lineman, of course, on the Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny, actually called Tua out by name. An active player did this. Diana, listen to this.
I just think their offense, you know, they were so ready to trade Tua, and now it's turned into, oh, he can lead the franchise. I don't know how that works, but, you know, it doesn't sound like that's going pretty good.
But, Di, doesn't that mean like they were ready to trade Tua for Deshaun Watson? Like, that's what they were ready to
trade Tom Tua. Or Tom Brady.
Somebody better. Somebody, yeah, elite. I mean, but if you are by default, like, it's not like he can't make it work.
So I try to look back on what we were saying, or at least I did look back on some of the things we were saying about Tua coming out of Alabama. And guys, it's like over the top about the compliments and the things that we were able to see from him on the field. And 2 years later, that is not the same guy. He is not a guy that can move this offense downfield. He's turned into sort of a dink and dunk kind of quarterback. And, you know, with Cam mentioning, like, you know, he sounded pretty darn lukewarm on him, maybe even a little less than that. You know, he makes a fair point of it seemed like Miami was out on him, and then they get Tyreek and Mike McDaniel as the head coach, who, by the way, I do think will make Tua better. I'm just not ready to buy in that this is going to be a top 10 offense, which, by the way, Miami hasn't had a top 10 offense. Think about this. In 27 years, that's my age, right? So when I was born, that was the last time Miami had a top 10 offense.
Your entire life, you've never seen Miami with a top 10 offense.
It has been a long time. And you know that they made these moves. You know Stephen Ross is sitting there going, this has got to be, it has to get better. And I do think McDaniel will be able to get him to take those steps forward. But as Key pointed out, until we can see some rhythm, the accuracy, we're going to see that New England pass rush continue to just dominate them.
Look, it packs so much wisdom into those 27
everybody,
years.
Everybody is high on what they did with Tyreek Hill and bringing in Cedric Wilson and Jalen Waddle and things of that nature. But let's say this. Mike McDaniel has not called a single play in the National Football League as an offensive play caller. He was a run game coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, which essentially means he installed the running game for Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan called the plays for the 49ers, and I get it. He's part of the Shanahan tree, so everybody thinks he's going to be Sean McVay.
But he got to show you.
There's only one Sean McVay.
He's got to show you.
There's only one Sean McVay.
Are you saying he can't? We have like 20 seconds. Are you saying he can't do it, or he's
got
to show you?
No, he just got to show me. Got to show me.
Their lineup of coaches coming out of that Shanahan.
Don't fall for it.
That's Diana Russini, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't fall for it.
The great Diana Russini. Back to the NBA Finals coming up. ESPN Radio, SiriusXM Channel 80.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.